This is episode 362, recorded July 8th, 2016. Packard pokes at abstinence makes for penis fondlers. I want to thank C. Walker from the chat room for this week's show title.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining me tonight from the far west coast is Connie, Practical Magic 9.
Hello there, everybody.
And joining us from the far east coast is Deconverted Man from YouTube.
Deconverted Man here.
I like that picture. You got that look on your picture there. It's the beard, isn't it?
It is. It's like, have you seen a Santa Claus movie with Tim Allen?
Yes.
And he shaves and it just, you know, pops back. It's pretty much like that now.
Turns all white in the mirror. It's like just shaving. It's like, you know, there pops right back.
As much as I try to deny it, I have gray hairs and it's not, I'm not happy about that.
So does it help you think to stroke the beard? Is that part of the attraction of having look thoughtful?
Yeah, I would answer that question, but it would get censored.
Right. On this show? All right. This political season has been a total fuck up. I mean, we got the left and the right, and we can't seem to agree on fucking thing one. The Republicans are fucking crazy. Some of the Democrats are just as fucking batshit crazy as well. So I'm not going to say that they're not, because they both are to some degree. However, every once in a great while, the Republicans and the Democrats do happen to hammer out something that was really important. Actually, I should say important, not just really important, but really actually important. Over in Virginia, they introduced a new law to stop 12-year-olds from getting married. So I didn't know this was a big problem in Virginia. I usually associate stuff like this to like things like Arkansas, Louisiana, places, you know, where those people down in those states are not really, you know, refined. Between 2004 and 2013, around 4,500 children under the age of 18 got married in the state of Virginia. Now, I do have a problem with this article, is it's mostly focused on just the girls.
Exactly.
Like, the fact is that the boys are getting married too. It doesn't seem to bother anybody, but the fact is it's girls, well, then there's a problem. I have a problem with both getting married under the age of 18, especially right around that age. Unfortunately, this article only focuses on just the girls. It says that of the girls, more than 200 of them were 15 or under. The authorities in that state introduced new legislation that updated the rules, which had until then made it legal for girls aged 12 or 13 to get married if they had parental consent and if they were pregnant. Yeah, that's a big problem.
Now, evidently.
Yeah, the changes. A move the campaigners said that brought Virginia's laws into the 21st century following a long fight by activists who said the change was aimed at curbing forced marriages, human trafficking, and statutory rape disguised as marriage. There's a picture of this guy with a 12-year-old girl in a wedding dress. This guy has got to be at least three times her age.
Yeah, this was a social experiment.
Yeah.
They were trying, but it puts a face and it gives you an image of what we're actually talking about.
Exactly.
That experiment went viral, so it did get... It did bring attention to this issue. It's still
yes.
a thing in the U.S. where it's like, yeah, people, you know, that are young can still get married, and that's still a thing that we can do.
Yeah. Now, this law, which took effect this last Friday, set a minimum age of 18 or 16 if the child is emancipated by a court order. If a parent takes pregnancy out of the equation, the Post had reported. Now, I'm for that. I have no problem with that. If the child is 16 years old and is emancipated by the court because parents are, like, fucking horrible assholes and the child wants to be removed from that setting, that's a different story. That means that she has been made technically an adult, while not quite completely legally an adult, to be out on their own.
But then, why should a child at 16 still be able to get married?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even buy a car. You can't sign a legal contract until you're 18 in most places without the parents' consent.
Right.
You can't enlist and everything. And usually, I know we romanticize child brides and you know, two young people like Romeo and Juliet getting married, and it's usually a very bad idea, but I do understand what you're saying, Packard. It's hard if you have a 16-year-old.
No, I get that. Under most normal circumstances, I agree with you on that point. If the child has been emancipated from that situation, you can't get into legal contracts. I think, though, if you are legally emancipated from your family, I think in those instances, you have special documentation that says, hey, I'm technically legal to get into binding contracts and things like that for that reason. Only in those reasons, though.
Okay.
Is that the rest of your thoughts there, Connie? Or?
Oh, I was just listening. We're still unfolding the story, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Did you have anything?
I'm muting again. No, for right now, I'm done.
Okay. Deconverted Man, what are your thoughts then?
Well, I mean, there's a slim, I suppose, possibility that somebody could try to get the young person to get emancipated so then they could marry them. But I think that that's a much larger hurdle to go over than what was in existence before.
Right.
Well, the article doesn't explore anything beyond these young girls are getting married. And like, that's the problem is like, oh, are they marrying boys they're near their own age? What about these young men? Mm-hmm. And it's probably most likely every time all about pregnancy.
Yeah.
And religious belief that, you know, first of all, if you're pregnant, then that life is most important. Are these older men who are marrying younger women? Because they mentioned like human trafficking and stuff in this. I just don't know. I don't know who's marrying these girls.
Yeah. I'd like to know that myself.
It's
a little sketchy on who's actually the ones getting married on this.
Right. Because that is important. If you have two young people who are in love and they want to get married and they're all, say, all Romeo and Juliet, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about older men who are, you know, going after young and inexperienced women or families marrying off their young girls.
Yeah.
If they're in a poverty situation, which, again, we're talking about Virginia, Appalachias and stuff. I don't know how backwards some of these areas are.
Well, they're up in the mountains out there. The laws haven't still reached all of them yet.
You know, not to read too much into it, but because you can get some tax breaks when you're married, this might also close up potential loopholes in having, say, hey, you know, marry the next door neighbor so we can get a tax break from you too. And you know, now that you can marry homosexually, you'd be like, oh, you know, my daughter's marrying, you know, your daughter, quote, so that we can, you know, so it closes up potential maybe loopholes in that as well.
Yeah.
But it does look like the reason it was forwarded was to get rid of the possible ways to abuse this loophole in the system where you could just say, oh yeah, sure, marry whoever, it doesn't, it's fine, you know, and here's $10,000, parent, will you give me permission?
you know, the thing is, though, what was really, I found was rather interesting, I kind of joked about, you know, the southern parts of the United States here, this particularly is a law still that kids can get married under the age of 18 in several states. California, Maryland, New Jersey, and New York are also considering this kind of law, also according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. I never suspected of California. California is always think, you know, it's the high tech state. Everybody out there, you know, they're
progressive.
More progressive and things like this. Yeah. This is such a backwards thing that they actually have to sit there and go, yeah, you think child marriage is okay? Well, no. The fact that you even have to ask that question, it gives me serious questions about California to begin with.
How many of these laws are antiquated? Those, you know, you can't chew bubble gum and spit on the sidewalk and stuff. Although this is obviously more important than something like that, but how many of these laws have been on the books for a long time? And I did not have time to research that because that was a question I had in our meeting.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, they're just on there and people taking advantage of it, especially if you're in a poor part of the of any state and you don't, you know, education is low on the totem pole and you have religious beliefs that say all life is sacred, even if it's, you know, whatever. And I don't know. It's kind of shocking, like you said, though, to think that this has still been on the books in places like California, too.
Right.
That's weird.
I just want to springboard off of what you said there, Connie, about being in the poor areas there. This came up because Mrs. Vogel, she learned about the issue when one of her constituents in an affluent part of Northern Virginia sought help after a man in his 50s was suspected of having sex with a high school student. It was only then, because it came from someone rich. Oh, well, the rich's voices seem to matter more than the people who are poor. I'm wondering now, how many poor people came to her and said, hey, this is a problem? And she went,
you can write me a check for money? Oh, yeah, it's a problem. You betcha.
Yeah, you didn't write. Yeah, the problem is you didn't write me any money. I don't think of you as the person that I represent because I represent. Yeah, you're not influential enough. You're like the ants I step on the sidewalk. You don't represent me, so I really don't care what happens in your little pitiful life. But if somebody in an affluent neighborhood has a problem, then I'm going to do something.
It's really weird because it's different from the state to state, but not, you know, the federal level is like, oh, it's 18, period. But yet the states can vary.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we're legally married, but federally it's still a crime if you're under 18.
Yeah.
So, like, why don't we just make it uniform across the board? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Because in civics, when I was going through it with my kids, there's states' rights and there's federal rights. And that's why they don't always match up. And states want their individual. There's some things the states should govern themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
It's more expedient. But these kind of things where you have standards, like about drinking, driving, what time somebody is an adult, and
those,
things
those
like
are, those are a lot easier to broad. Yeah, those are
those
a lot
should be across the board. We shouldn't have any discrepancy between the states and federal. That should all be normalized, I think. Same thing with education standards of, you know, in ninth grade, every state across the union, if they want to electively have state history, that's what it has to be taught. You know, and don't have it be a requirement for graduation, that kind of thing. Those things should be set down that this is when you do this, because there's we're such a mobile society, too. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing that you encounter with that. But as far as this, I don't know why we are hanging on to this old idea that the state's rights will trump that.
Right. Yeah, this is a big, big clusterfuck. And tonight we have Deconverted Man with us for our interview. I do have a quick question while I'm trying to find my regular questions here. You have a picture of a lobster on your banner for your page, for your channel. Mm-hmm. And you asked, are you going to be talking about lobsters? You asked yourself this. So,
well, you know, I hate to bring it up, but it seems like every time I make a video, it's just lobsters somehow managed to get into the videos. I don't know how this all started.
Uh-huh.
It's just they've overtaken my life at this point. But I guess it is beneficial because I did find that the only true religion was a lobsterist, so that's something. But I'm still a skeptic, even though I know the truth now. I still remain a hard atheist, even though that makes no sense after having the lobsters be revealed as the true thing. Just because I don't, you know, Lot and I, we get along, but ultimately I don't care about the lobster original deity. And it doesn't care about me, so whatever.
Right. That's
it,
like,
makes sense, actually, because lobsters are the cockroaches of the sea, and everybody knows that they're going to survive any nuclear blast. So
yeah.
Well, I have a book that says that the book is true in the book. So, I mean, it says it right there. It's just, it's like that's like one of the first things it says. Like, this is a true book because it says it.
You know, you know what George Carlin says about that kind of shit. He's like, I see something coming at me sideways. That doesn't make me hungry.
Yeah, but did he say that what he says is always true? No, but my book did, so there. I really wanted that to happen at the Bill Nye versus Ken Ham for the, like, 20th time when Ken Ham says, I have a book. I wish that Bill Nye had known that was going to happen and start pulling out books. Well, we have some books, too, you know.
Yeah.
Biology, you know? Like, yep. Oh, look at this book. Look at this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Start throwing them at them.
Right. Were you ever religious, and how did you come to your non-belief?
Yes, deconverted.
Right, that's my next question. I'll come to that. I'll come to that in a little bit.
Yeah, I was Christian, and what was the next one? How did I get out of it?
Yeah, or how did you come to your non-belief?
Well, I researched my religion, so that was a problem.
I mean, was there one pivotal point in your life which said, okay, there was this one thing that prompted you to say God is bullshit, this religion is bullshit?
Well, I think it was I think that was the inevitable conclusion after the year some odd that I did a research into my mm-hmm. religion to see what I could find to be true, what I could find to not be true, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was that moment at the end where it's like, okay, that's it. And for me, it was very emotional. For others, not so much. Everyone's different on that.
Yeah. I've had this conversation with many people, and they say the way you came out of a religion was more emotional. And it's like, well, I did use some emotion, but it was mostly more logic than it was emotion. So I get that. So people will say, well, if you don't think about it logically, then
yeah, like as if that wouldn't count. I'm like, no, it doesn't. You know, and I think I've encountered one such person that was an emotional disattachment from mm-hmm. the religion, but then they started pondering and asking these questions and whatnot. So I don't think that any way is invalid or valid. It's just we all have different paths to take to get us wherever we might be going.
Okay.
Yeah.
My next question here is, what was your inspiration for making your videos? I mean, what actually got you into producing your videos?
Oh, I love making videos. I love editing videos. I've been on YouTube for pretty much since it started. I've had several channels, only maybe three of which are still around. But I just love producing content. But Deconverted Man kind of came out of my doing Infinite Hope for a year plus, which when I was a Christian, that was my channel. Mm. But that's gone now. That whole channel is obliterated. I kind of wish I'd kept it just to have it because I had videos on there that I didn't have saved, but I obliterated that channel. So it's like, I'm going to do that, but now I'm going to do it as a skeptic. So
yeah, we were speaking of videos. We were doing a segment called the 1 Minute Skeptic here on the show because, you know, you and I had reached an agreement for us to do that. We were doing that here for a little over a year. And what gave you the idea for the Deconverted series, or I should say the 1 Minute Skeptic series?
Well, it's a takeoff on the 1 Minute Apologist that's up. And they do like this black and white softball interview where whoever it is asks the apologist of the day a really softball question, which they've obviously prepared for. And then they give this really quick answer that sounds so sophisticated and so... It's so well rehearsed. It's so well shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so well edited. It's not a minute, but it's you know, it's not that long of a thing. It's actually, I think, maybe 3 to 5 minutes, depending, which I've broken all the rules for the 1 minute skeptic anyway. So I've had an hour long 1 minute skeptic, like, whatever. The title was just a joke.
The 1 minute thing is just a suggestion.
Suggestion, right? Yeah. I've had people say, "Well, I can't do
it's
this."
For a guideline
like,
rather than a rule.
You
yeah.
Know,
yeah.
But that was the idea, was to have a counter to that series. And so, you know, I wish it would take on a life of its own and other people would do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cuz it is my idea, but it is out there and anyone can do this sort of thing, and it wouldn't bother me to find out somebody else is doing a 1 minute skeptic.
Oh,
or,
great. We're doing that tomorrow, by the way. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's fine. You'll hear from my lawyer, but you know, cool. I don't care. You know,
that's all right. They have to find me first. You can't sue somebody you can't find.
You know, I'd like to be, you know, given credit for the idea or whatever. Sure. But I want it to be, because it wasn't about me. It was about whoever the guest was, and to get their channel noticed as well. So it was kind of like, you know, as I grow in numbers, maybe your channel will get some more hits because, you know, it's out there. Right. And I was always hopeful that a big channel would come along, scoop it up, and be like, "Oh, we want to do that all the time." So, like, you know, it'd be a big thing. But you know, it didn't happen. That's okay.
That's just the way YouTube works, I guess.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it is YouTube, and I haven't done one in a while, but I'm getting geared up to try to relaunch it and make it a thing again.
Speaking of YouTube videos and channels, are there any YouTubers out there that you really like? Or
Karen-S.
I'm sorry?
Karen-S, okay. big friend of mine. I've done a lot of things with her. Toby Kid Major, off the top of my head. I'd have a list if I had known. I have in my channel, there's a recommended playlist or recommended YouTubers on the front page of my channel. So whoever's there, that would be the answer to that. I don't know who that is without looking.
Okay.
Except for those two off the top of my head.
Yeah, no, I get that. I'm following at least about 100. I have to look at them and like, oh, yeah, this is who I'm following. And some of those people don't even make videos anymore or haven't made a video in quite some time. I don't even know if their channel's even still active in any way, shape, or form.
Anyone except for Paul. Screw Paul. not that Paul. The one with the minion icon. Yeah, you, Paul. Nobody likes you. That was he complained that I hated him last video. So
I have no idea who that is. So
it doesn't matter. Nobody does.
Nobody
the
knows
other
who
Paul
I.
That I know.
It doesn't matter anyway because no one knows who I am. I mean, I have to get up in the morning. I go, oh yeah, that's who I am, and I have to put my you know, so just I just remind myself who I am in the morning. Yeah, so. What's one of the best videos you've seen on another channel?
Oh, man. within the skeptical...
Yeah, it could be that, or it could be just a funny video, if you'd like. I mean, it really doesn't matter. Something do you think is really interesting?
What is something interesting that I've seen lately on YouTube? Oh, boy. I don't know. I was looking up Legend of Zelda fake trailers. Yeah, this would be good as a movie if they did it right, but I know Hollywood would screw it up. So
yes, Hollywood does screw things up
very
well.
I don't want it to happen because it'd be like, let's recast everybody as the alternate gender and race because why not?
I actually have no problem with them doing that. It's like, okay, I want to see this like this.
I was thinking of doing Schindler's List. But it's all going to be Nazis they're going to be the good guys, and then the Jewish people, they're going to be in the roles of the Nazis.
Oh, wow.
And they're all
going
to be flipped to gender, and they're all going to be black. So that would just pretty much piss off everyone.
That would piss everybody off quite easily, yes.
And transgender. Make sure all of them are, like, fluid gender.
Yeah, and make sure that it – see, something like that.
And
would never be allowed.
By William Shatner there. Yeah. I've ruined my career in movies. I am done.
So
that would be my one movie, and that would be it.
Something like that would never be allowed in Germany, I'm just saying.
Would never be allowed anywhere.
No.
This is a horrible idea. We'll greenlight it.
That's a horrible, horrible idea.
Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, Yeah.
The plot twist was a solid dream.
Yeah. Oh, Shyamalan. Yeah, you put Shyamalan in charge of anything. You might as well just say, you know, we're just going to throw money down the goddamn drain.
You know what? Never mind. Edit this out of the podcast. It's not my answer anymore.
Edit? Wait a minute.
Writing that down right now.
Wait a minute. This is a live show. Yeah, that's right. And Connie, did we say anything about editing?
What's that?
I have no idea.
By the seat of your pants.
What the question
should be
next
question. That should be the tagline of this show.
Let's talk about lobsters again. I'm safe there. Recast my lobsters as M. Night Shyamalan. I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
What do you do outside of your YouTube persona? Do you have like a job in the real world?
No, I don't. That's it, man. I'm YouTube. I don't have any real existence. What do I do besides YouTube?
Yeah, do you like drive a truck? Do you hunt moose? What do you do?
What do I do? Sleep. You don't need comments from you. I research and I read and I study and I write, mm-hmm. and I create ideas, and I'm an idea generator. I make I different thing. I write and write songs, write stories, and that's basically my thing.
That's what you do to get paid?
Not yet.
Well, that's what I was asking about. I mean, what do you do for like work? I mean,
oh, nothing.
Nothing?
I'm not able to.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of sucks. I would love to do something. The only thing I could probably do would be to debate for a living, but you can't just like apply for that, you know?
Yeah, I haven't found any place to apply for that. I take it everywhere I go. So
I have to kind of roll into it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But my different various chemical imbalances in my mind prevent me from having normal work, which is cool, but it is what it is. Maybe I'll get it working one of these days. Maybe I won't. Don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Connie, do you have any questions for Deconverted Man?
Well, okay. You said that you left your religion, and if you don't want to share this, that's fine. I just didn't know what particular brand of Christianity did you adhere to?
See, that's a tough one to answer because, I mean, I started out in a Lutheran church, but then I've been in Baptist, I've been in Presbyterian, I've been in Pentecostal, I've been in whatever the bleep Church of Christ is. You know, I've been to various different denominations. I suppose Baptist and Lutheran, and I'm not sure what covenant was, what that church was, what their. I think they were kind of.
I'm familiar with that one too. Yeah.
Yeah, New Covenant. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they were just. If the church was called New Covenant Church, so I don't know if they.
That's such an irony word. I mean, for the religion. I mean, all right. To put this in perspective, Connie and I have been reading The Atheist, the Bible, and No Wardrobe. I mean, it's our second podcast, and there's a part where we just recently read. It's not posted yet, but we just recently read this, where it says God's covenant is supposed to be in perpetuity, which means forever. And so everybody keeps saying, "Well, there's a new covenant, new covenant, new covenant." It's like. No, you're still under the original one.
right. It's just the next chapter of the original covenant.
Yeah, it's the same. You're under the same covenant. Like, you can't make a new one because you're still under the original one.
So. Well, it's like New Coke, you know? I mean, everyone hates it, and then you're like, oh, see, that's what the original is there for. But, yeah, I mean, so I don't know what their doctrine or thing was necessarily. But I've been to, you know, I went one day to a gospel or a couple different days to a gospel church. But I've been all over the map for that pretty much. But mm-hmm. I think that I don't know if any one of them really stuck out. But, you know, I mean, Christianity was and faith in God was very much a part of my life where I wanted to understand what God wanted me to do and mm-hmm. what am I supposed to do, you know, because of this and that. And, you know, I mean, it was something that at different points in my life I made really important. And then other times it was like it wasn't even there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, you know, it's something that, you know, you carry with you as a thing that you're supposed to kind of have to do, but also is kind of a chore.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to go to church, you know, okay, you know. I think that the most amazing church thing, if I had to quantify, would be when I was in the military just last week when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. Shut up, outright lie. that they had a sermon and it was all like singing and super, you know, energetic or whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is awesome, you know, because you're mm-hmm. in boot camp and it's just everything's, you know, so plain and ordinary. Well, the next church thing was just back to normal. So it's just like they only do that awesome one for the people that are just coming in. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
I want that all the time, dang it.
Selling it, yeah. Basically. I get that too. I mean, it, kind of all over the map. And actually, it sounds like, you know, religion was in some ways trying to find purpose and meaning in life. And it, yeah, I get, and I also get the whole thing about it being emotional as you left. Now, okay, you talk about filmmaking and writing. Were you involved in like acting and film at some point in your life, or are you?
I've been in 7 stage plays.
Wow.
I'm gonna say 7. I'd love to do it again. The one that's here is a more like, I think they're part of a guild, so I'm not in the actors union and I don't have money to be in the actors union. Mm-hmm. So
you have to pay to be in the actors union?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Pretty much.
I gotta get in on that scam. I mean,
well,
I'm gonna start my own actors guild. Barry, just pay me money right now.
Actors guild. Well, some you do, some you don't. I mean, it just depends. But they're more of a professional thing, so they don't necessarily have open auditions.
But
you know, I haven't seen anything for that. I tried to find out, but I've done different things in college. I did different plays, and later on, I found a playhouse to do stuff as a more older person of.
Okay.
But I haven't done anything like that lately. I really would love to. I love being on stage. It's great.
Yeah, Deconverted Man's going to get a call from Hollywood tomorrow and he's going to go, "Who are you people again?"
Oh, they heard about my they heard about my pitch there.
Yeah, they heard about the pitch about the lobsters and the
It's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time now, right?
Lobster Man.
On Broadway.
Lobster Man. Yeah, that's the superhero movie. It's going to be Lobster Man. The guy is pinched by a radioactive lobster and gains the power of lobster. We don't know what
don't
the power is yet, but
his kryptonite is a boiling pot of water.
Yeah, everyone's got to bring up the weaknesses of lobsters all the time.
Drawn butter, yeah.
And drawn butter. Oh, no, drawn butter! Run away! All the criminals just got to carry butter in their pocket.
Something like that. No, but it would have, you know, get great lines like, "I'm going to give you a shell of a time."
Oh,
don't turn tail and run on me now.
Right.
Have you in my claws.
insert other Chris Station joke here.
I gotta get
what's his name? I can't, George Costanza. Now I can't think of his real name.
Can't think of his real name either. You mean from
Jason Alexander?
Yeah, Jason Alexander. There you go.
I gotta get him to be my marine biologist, and then I'd have a scene where he'd be like, "Man, I knew I should have been an architect." And that would be the end of the movie. There. I don't know what happens before that moment, but that's the ending.
I got the ending written. I don't have anything beforehand, but I got the ending ready.
That's fine.
Yeah.
People will get it that know the show. People that don't, I don't care about them, you know. In fact, it'll just be a Seinfeld movie, just with the Lobster Man as kind of a, like, that's actually the B plot of the movie. So the whole time you're like, why am I watching Seinfeld? I don't get this.
The villains
every now and then the Lobster
Man
is like, okay, but
Connie, do you have any other questions for Deconverted Man?
Oh, I see that Dawkins' dog and Torvin are in the
yeah.
They have a couple of questions.
I know those names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had some questions too. I mean, unless you have any more,
whatever you got, come on, bring it on.
Dawkins' dog asks if you were forced to join a religion, which would it be?
Oh man, what's the one that believes that the Force is real?
Jediism.
The Jediism, I guess.
They
seem like the coolest bunch. That or Buddhist, I guess. I mean, it would just kind of be like, yes, I'm one with everything.
I would be Pastafarian because only I'd get spaghetti.
Wait a minute. I can make up. I can do my own made up. I mean, the real religion. I'd be lobsterist then. Why not?
Why not?
He didn't tell me I could join my own made up religion.
He didn't say. He didn't specify it couldn't make up your own. It just said you're forced to join a religion. So.
It'd be the donate $1 million to me religion.
I joined that one. But I have to get $1 million joined to me, too.
It says right here in my book.
Right. It says right here in my book says you have to give me $1 million. Everything on this in this book is true because the book says so.
You know, the thing is, the church teaches you how to make $1 million. In the book, how to make $1 million. Only $500,000. So...
Yeah, well, from what we've read, that all you got to do is make up a bunch of crazy rules and try to enforce
it. You buy a couple of those books, see? All right.
Yeah.
There you go. I made my $1 million. Now you sell some other schmuck two of those books. There you go. That's it.
You sell two, and they'll sell two, and the people above you. That's called a pyramid scheme, by the way.
Yeah. It's so way. Scamway.
Scamway. Another question we have from Torvaren. He asks, do all dead bodies get sent to Red Lobster for judgment?
I don't remember. It's in the book. You're going to have to read the book. It's on my profile. Can't be bothered to look up what it says anymore.
$19.99 plus shipping and handling.
I wish I charged for that. No, it's on the Google Plus main profile of mine. It says become a lobster. So you click that, goes straight to the book. Look, I'm telling you, and I don't just say this stuff because, yes, I do.
Dawkins continues on, asks, when you bow your knee before God, will judgment, as you surely will, what will you say to your Lord? The lobster, I guess, or the $1 million, whichever one you want to use.
Bite my shiny metal ass. Like, hey, that's from Futurama. You're stealing. I'm like, exactly. Might as well.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm already screwed. What more are you going to do to me?
Right.
Might as well go down fighting, man.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Deconverted Man, where can they find your channel?
YouTube/user, however that works. Deconverted Man with the number one, because YouTube screwed me up. But I do own Deconverted Man, but there's nothing there, so don't. There are videos there, but they're stupid videos. So go to Deconverted Man 1, just type in Deconverted Man on YouTube, and you'll find me. And if not, then panic.
Step
the
one.
Lobsters have absconded with you, is that what you're saying?
So step one is look for Deconverted Man. Step two, don't find him. Step three, panic. Okay, we got
pretty
it.
Much,
yeah, look for the guy who looks like Zach Galifianakis. Is that what you said?
Dawkins asked why I didn't tell Zach Galifianakis was on tonight. So
yeah, between two palms. Where's the interview there?
I don't know what that is, but
I don't either.
Oh,
let's do that.
All right. Well, we'll
someone
get to the
Obama. I don't know. Please.
Yeah, we got a lot of clickbait.
Can I tell you my 9/11 theory?
Is that on our list?
It happened on 9/11. That's my theory.
It's not even part of this show, but it's just so good, man. You got to hear it.
Cool.
He's like, no, we're done with the interview. Move on with the show now. You'll never know the truth.
about 9/11, Dick Reverted Man?
look at Hillary. You know Hillary's little symbol there, her little H with the arrows, right?
Yes.
Well, there it's not an H. It's the two towers. And the,
of course, because
the arrow is pointing to the one that was hit first.
Right.
So there you go. Now we know who did it.
It was Hillary, right?
The whole time. Okay, that's it. I'm
the whole time.
It was her the whole time. Shit.
Her the whole time. Wasn't Bush at all. What a plot twist. Directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Directed by M. Night Shyamalan. Great.
Email me, producers. I know you want me to make this movie. All these Hollywood directors and producers that are totally listening to this podcast.
Yeah, right. Which is approximately zero.
You never know, man. There's still hope. Don't kill my hope. Okay, on with the show.
Sorry. Yeah, I want to.
Until we have a logically coherent argument, we must continue to be skeptical of the conclusion. There, right. There. I said my thing. I'm done.
There you go.
Dropping the mic now. Go on.
Contact us by email at ppappodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter as @PackardPokeSat. Like us on Facebook.com/PackardPokeSat. Call our Google Voice and leave a message at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727, and we will respond to it on the show. Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time, join us live at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokeSat. During the show, you can share your thoughts with us by calling 857-216-3200 using PIN number 35368 or on uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat. For links to the stories, visit our show page at PackardPokeSat.wordpress.com. You can help support the show by purchasing merchandise from cafepress.com/PackardPokeSat or make a donation to the show at patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. If you can't afford any money, why not share the show with your friends and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, and on YouTube. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass!
The Atheists,
the Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.
Wait a minute. No wardrobe? You mean we're going to be naked while we do this?
Well, seeing how I'm an atheist and I'm reading the Bible, and since clothes are flammable,
fire, fire, fire,
I thought it might be a good idea to take them all off first.
Naked or not, follow along as we read, analyze, and try to keep you from falling asleep as we go through this boring-ass book.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. Who knows? We may even be on YouTube someday. Be sure to check out our secondary podcast, The Atheist, The Bible, and No Wardrobe. And we're having a lot of fun with this, considering it's the Bible.
Is there any other way to read it?
No.
Oh, my God.
I could try setting it on fire and tend to try to read it quickly before it goes up in flames, although I don't think I would try very hard. It said, die. Okay. All right. Then I guess that's all okay. I got out of it. It's, all right. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're having actually a lot of fun with it, discovering some really weird things, and it's reaffirmed my belief that there is no God. So.
Belief and non-belief. Huh?
Yeah, my belief and non-belief, I should say.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And we've discovered who's the real God was of Moses. It's not up yet. It's not up yet, but we.
That's, yes.
That's not up
Jehovah
yet.
Jehovah or Yahweh?
All of them.
I think it's Yahweh at that point.
It's Yahweh at that point.
He
yeah.
hasn't given his name yet, though.
Yeah, he hasn't given a name yet, but we've discovered who Moses' real God was. So, yeah, you'll have to wait until the podcast gets to Exodus before you get to find out. So,
but I got to give you a great Bible verse if you're ever feeling sad. Is Revelation 10:10.
We're not that far yet. You can't tell us that. Don't. Okay. You're going to spoil it for us, man.
I'm trying to spoil the movie for you. Just telling you a good verse, man. If you're ever sad, look it up. So people are going to be like, what's Revelation 10:10? They're going to look it up. They're going to get the joke.
Yeah. Dawkins said, never burn the Bible. You don't want to inhale some shit. So
you got to get like one of those waste permits.
Yeah, that's toxic waste in there. I got to tell you, it's toxic waste.
I like that burning the Quran is, you know, so wrong.
Yeah.
Somebody had taken like different however much Mega Drive and had however many copies on it, and they're like, well, and they burned that. So I was like, well, now you can't kill them 20 million times or however many copies were on that.
Right, exactly.
Get a divorce.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that a sin?
Marge, just about everything is a sin. You ever sat down and read this thing? Technically, we're not allowed to go to the bathroom.
The Catholic Church has got to be one of the weirdest things that's ever happened to relationships, because they come out with these weird things about who can get married, who can't get married, and who can do what they want to inside their marriage. The Catholic Church seems to think that it can just order people around because we're a religion and our imaginary sky wizard says so because it came to us in a revelation or some bullshit. Archbishop Charles Chaput, his name, he should probably just rename himself to his shit put or shit off or something, whatever his name is. He stated that gay Catholics should also live in chastity, and new rules from Pope Francis urge more acceptance of others, which is what he kind of did. But he left it open, like saying, well, here's some guidelines, but interpret it the way you want to. So now he's saying, interpret it the way I want to. You know, if this guy had a mustache, he'd be one of those Snidely Whiplash type people with the, you know, the twirling at the end there. Because he is saying to people who get divorced and then get remarried somewhere down the line, if you want to get any kind of special dispensation or whatever from the church, at least from his church anyway, you are not allowed to have sex while you two are married. You're supposed to live together as, and when I read this, I got creeped out. You have to live together like your brother and sister. No. No. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of porn like that out there, but yeah, no. I don't think so. Connie, your thoughts?
I love taking marital advice from somebody who has remained perpetually single.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they just want everybody to be as goddamn frustrated as they are.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's ridiculous. And brother and sister, like, that's not creepy. So
yeah, that's not creepy at all.
this is for anyone that got divorced and remarried.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yes. If you got
like,
divorced
and
remarried.
You can't take Holy Communion, which is a big thing for Catholics.
Yes, it is.
To be able to take communion.
Yeah, because they think that they think that the body, this little cracker, turns into the body and blood of their savior.
I mean, this doesn't surprise me. I had a friend who he was getting married, and the church was like, "Yeah, we can't let you take communion if you don't teach your kid like Catholic stuff."
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dude, just drop the religion. Forget about it. It's get a different religion for, you know, this is nonsense.
Yeah. Connie, did you have any additional thoughts?
Well, just that a lot of the more, I don't want to say progressive, except for, I think, Baptists, but a lot of the more modern churches, they really encountered a huge problem with people being able to serve in deacon capacity if they were divorced, because there are churches that said, yeah, you can't serve as a deacon or head of the, you know, an elder of the church if you've been divorced. And there is such a high divorce rate in America, specifically within the church, that they've had to, you know, lapse those guidelines, because otherwise there wouldn't be anybody running around with the trays. I don't know. But as far as the Catholic Church goes, it's even more ludicrous what they say to the homosexuals.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
In here, because they say, well, they should just be married in to, you know, heterosexual women, and pretend like it's okay, and do penance if you have homosexual thoughts.
Yeah.
And urges. And so it's just a matter of everybody. Again, the priests want everybody to be as frustrated and think that molesting little boys and girls is okay.
Yeah,
I love how it says this. They've got this in quote. It's like diverse forms. Like they can't even bring themselves to say the word sex or love or anything.
Mm-hmm.
They have to put it like, oh, this it's like cooties. Like they don't. They know it's a thing. They have to say something about it. So they're gonna, you know, they gotta be kind of politically correct, you know, and it's just they still don't want to move forward with the rest.
Yeah, they
of the world. No.
They want to try to keep everybody that was in the closet back in the closet because of their antiquated religion, because they don't follow the words of Jesus. They follow the words of Paul. So they're actually worshiping Paul. They're not worshiping Jesus. They should have pictures of Paul out there on crosses everywhere they go.
Well, the church in general is kind of slipping, and the Catholic Church specifically has been bleeding numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to remain relevant is what it sounds a lot like to me.
Yeah, they're trying to change, but not so fast and quickly that they'll lose the people they have. But they have to change or they die.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, you have this sort of mixed message of, well, you know, don't do this, like, yeah. Oh, you're remarried. Oh man, we don't like remarriage. What do we do about that? Just don't have any more fun together. Live like brother and sister.
Oh yeah, that's just gross. Then what's the point then? Oh, that's all right. We're just living brother and sister, but we're gonna have sex with somebody else because we can't have sex.
We love each other, but we're married. But that's all there is to it because we're Catholics. Like, aren't you gonna have like all eternity to not do stuff? Like,
and this guy is the only person I've ever heard. Ever that said, you know, you should live as brother and sister. I've never read that anywhere else. I've never heard it from anybody else. And this is just, it's so disturbing on so many levels, you know.
Well, the New Testament actually advises against that. It says don't neglect your duties to each other as a husband and a wife.
That's right.
Of course, generally, it's generally interpreted to say that it's just one husband, one wife, you know, but still, it's
or like, multiple wives, depending on what part of the Bible you're reading.
This
you know.
Is true. Hello?
His name, his last name, is just so many ways to make fun of it. Chaput, like Chia Pet.
Yeah, we came up with that one. I just call him asshole. I want to just call him asshole, Charles asshole.
Chaput.
But calling him an asshole makes assholes look bad. I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of shit that comes from them, but that's a natural event. So this is not a natural event.
Oh, geez.
You're supposed to ignore your sexual urges. Now, my biggest question here is, how the fuck is he supposed to know? And who the fuck cares what this fucking dickhead says? This is just more Christian Sharia. This is another version of Christian Sharia law.
Yeah.
Anyone else have any last comments on this?
I'd like to see the sensor that they have to check and make sure that people haven't been having sex if they're not supposed to.
Ladies, you got to go over there. We got to check to see if your vag is tight. Guys, we got to make sure that your dick hasn't been hard like in a while.
In the Bible where all these people were like circumcised, uncircumcised. Like, who's checking? Who's got that job?
Yeah, who's got that job?
There's a special tent for that.
Yeah.
Got something. All right, you're in. No, you're not in, you know.
Exactly.
No, I'm just imagining a really weird glory hole, I guess.
We're going to protect your anonymity by, you know, just step, everybody just get in line. Ladies over here, guys over there, we're going to everybody inspect. So pull down your pants, pull down your panties, we're going to inspect each one of you.
Here's the body.
But I love it that the same-sex attractions are supposed to live chastely for the kingdom of God. Like, yes. Like, how would anyone know unless
you tell
them?
Or they ask.
Say it's none of your business.
Yeah. Right? I mean, you know what? The Catholic Church is going to institute the new in-bedroom cameras. So we want to make sure that you're okay. So we're going to have set up all these multiple monitors, but you got to make sure you stick these cameras in your bedroom because people can't have sex, you know, anywhere else.
Yeah, like a Pope cam.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's on or off, so better behave because the Pope cam's there. That'd make a great. That's the next product to put on your page. It's Pope cam doesn't actually do anything. Just looks like a webcam. Like, yeah, the Pope might be watching. Better behave. You know?
Better behave. Yeah, the Pope might.
Better watch out. Better not cry.
Exactly.
he's busy
Pope
watching.
Pope is coming
Cinemax.
To town. He ain't got no. He ain't got no communion present for you if you've been doing the naughty.
Yeah.
Oh,
we had to watch it 5 times just to be sure that's what was going on. So.
Due diligence, man.
Due diligence.
Gulliver, you are. Sold you have been. Garbage it is. Garbage!
Over in Saudi Arabia, they have some weird laws regarding women, and I make no bones about hating the religion, all religions. And right now, Islam as a religion is even going way the fuck overboard everywhere it goes. I don't care if you're a moderate Muslim or you're not, your religion sucks. I don't care if you're a moderate Christian or you're a more fundamentalist Christian, your religion sucks. Over in Dubai, now driven by radical beliefs, a twin brothers had allegedly killed their mother while they were over in Saudi Arabia after she tried to stop them from joining the Islamic State in Syria. That's ISIS, basically. And in a case of outrage, Saudi Arabians worried about the rising of Islamic militancy. This last June 24th killing in a country where they're supposed to respect their elders and seen as a bedrock of society whipped up a storm of debate whether it's possible to influence of medieval Islamic scholar revered as a forerunner of Saudi Arabia's Wahhabi school of Sunni Islam. When they mentioned the Wahhabi school, I thought they're teaching them soy sauce. You know, it's just Wahhabi sauce. You know, it's the stuff you put on your... I guess that joke failed.
Wasabi.
Wasabi, yeah.
Which is horseradish.
It's just horseradish. Yeah, I guess whatever it is. I was thinking of it as, you know, wasabi sauce, I guess. I see this stuff at the grocery store. Anyway, the Reuters was unable to contact the two 20-year-old twins or their lawyer or the family members, and they could not independently confirm if the alleged killing was the influence of the Islamic State or religious ideology or what the mother actually said. It shouldn't matter what she fucking said. It doesn't matter. You don't kill somebody just because they said, hey, we don't want you to do this thing. That's just idiotic. Kind of your thoughts.
This is just, I don't understand. I don't understand this. I don't understand people killing over religion at all. And ISIS is shaping up to be a huge negative influence, to put it mildly.
ISIS is becoming a real shit show.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, these twin kids already have lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. The father
and the older son, their next older son, the 22-year-old, were trying to prevent these twins from leaving, and they were also attacked.
Yep.
They wound up in a hospital.
Yeah. The mother was killed outright. Because
right.
Over there, women's opinions don't matter. They're still under the state of their religion, where women are not allowed to do a thing, they're not allowed to think a thing, you're not allowed to say a thing, because, hey, you don't have a penis, you don't matter to us. How many honor killings have we talked about here on this show, and have we seen just out in the world on ourselves, you know, just looking for stuff that we're, you know, to talk about on this show, where they're talking about they killed this girl because X, Y, Z reasons. Because, well, she's just a girl. She shouldn't be doing that. She doesn't matter because, well, women don't matter over there.
It's weird how it says it. Like, oh, this killing outraged these people. It's like, why this one?
Yeah.
I mean, how many others has there been? You know, is it because they're following this Tafuki, whatever the bleep, ideology? Like, what are we going to do? You know, I know. How about not have this book that tells to kill people?
Yeah.
I don't know. Change the book? I don't know.
Yeah, why don't we just get rid of the book? Why don't we just get rid of the religion that says, hey, we should kill other people religious reasons?
Right, well, whatever. I mean, either way. But and then how can people kill their own, you know, mom or dad or kids or whatever? It's just, it wouldn't be as much of a shock if it was somebody else. Like, it's their own mother.
You know,
how can they live with themselves after that?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, though, that happens across the board, though. I have to say, that kind of shit does happen across the board. It happens here. We look at, what was it, back in the early 80s, or late 80s, rather, that those brothers that killed their family for the insurance money, you remember who those were? I can't remember their names off the top of my head. But they had killed their parents for the insurance money, and then they got their money, and then they were spending it all over the place. and they eventually got caught because of the fact is they left a paper trail of what was going on. So they said somebody else killed them, but they the ones that actually did the Mendez brothers. The Mendez brothers. I don't know if anybody remembers them or not. But.
Well, what gets me about this and about Christianity is that people say, well, yeah, but that's the old, like in Christian, well, that's the Old Testament. We don't talk mm-hmm. about that now. And then there's other people who say, well, yeah, we think that, for example, you know, gays should be put to death as what, you know, the Bible says we should do. They want to make this holy book inerrant, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're talking, whichever religion you're talking about, but there's no such thing as inerrant. And there's so many different translations and there's so many ways that that things were omitted when, you know, when these books were created. I just go, wait, why don't you just get rid of these ideas and realize yeah. that there is no absolute holy book. If you want to believe in God, that's one thing. But this book is giving you guys license to treat other human beings as expendable, and that's not okay socially.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be. It should these books shouldn't be revered like that.
Yeah,
they should be made to, you know, I don't know.
And it is the book because if yes. there was a deity that cared about people, then it wouldn't tell you to kill anyone.
Exactly. That's right.
So yep. That's got to be. Why not say that's the part that's screwed up?
Yeah.
Like all the good parts, that's got to be from the deity. The bad parts get rid of. But, I mean, I'm reminded of a woman drowning her kids to get them into heaven. That was a Christian.
Yep. Yeah.
And things like this. You know, I mean, this stuff.
When happens. Doesn't that? When hasn't that happened? I mean, that's, yeah, that exactly. happened multiple times.
Several times, but yes.
So is this going to finally shake up things enough to get them to do anything different?
I doubt it. You know, honestly, in my opinion, because I know there are low regards for women over there, that if it had been just the woman that had been attacked, not the father, not the brother, they probably would have gone, well, we'll give them a slap on the wrist. Maybe we'll give them a 2 or 3 whip caning, and then we'll be done with them, and that's all they're going to get, if that at all. But because the father was attacked and the brother was attacked because they own penises, there's more issue there because you attacked yeah. another male versus a male versus attacking a female, even if it was an quote-unquote elder.
Yes. Well, if this, I think we said this in the meeting, if the mother had been the one who had done something wrong and the father wanted to have her stoned, this wouldn't be a story.
Yeah.
You know, they want to talk about, you know, respect for elders, but that's all that just is totally situational. And I do tend to think that it's this kind of stuff, this kind of honor killing crap comes down the hardest on the women.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting.
The reason why they're also bringing this up also is because it says the case has been has an impassioned debate because Islam teaches that devotion to caring for elders is a pathway to heaven. Why not just do it because it's the right fucking thing to do, not because you're going to get rewarded for doing this thing? This is the whole base of all religions, is the fact that they think, if I do a good thing here, my deity sees I'm doing a good thing, then he's going to reward me. They're doing it for the reward, so they think they're going to get something later. This is not doing it because it's the right thing. They're doing it because they think they're going to get rewarded for doing it. If you're doing it for those reasons, you suck. You fucking suck balls.
If you don't do this, you don't get the cookie.
That's right.
Well, Tervaren makes the comment, Islam also teaches that the devotion of killing a gay man to save him is a pathway to heaven. And that's what I was going to say, too, is that these twins could rationalize that their mother was preventing them from following the path and serving God.
Mm-hmm.
And so dispatching her, killing her, was actually a merciful thing for them to do, you know, because it would prevent it, because they were being prevented from taking the holy path that they think they're embarking on.
I love that it's like sparked this debate about, I wonder if this idea that we should kill people is a bad thing or not. I don't know. What do we, let's all talk about this for a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's the debate. You can just imagine all these scholars like around a table. Oh, do you think killing is bad? Well, here it says killing is bad. But could it mean something else? Maybe we're looking at this the wrong way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so ridiculous.
Well,
it's
that
just...
wasn't a K, that was an L. Oh, Illing? What's Illing? We don't know what that is. Let's look that up.
Yeah.
Well, it means hug them. Oh, this whole time you were supposed to hug the apostates. Oh.
Oh yeah, they had it all wrong. You're not supposed to kill apostates. You're supposed to hug them. I'd like to go back. If I had a time machine, go back in time and get rid of the killing. Just like give everybody hugs.
Yeah.
You know.
Oops. We misinterpreted that one.
Yeah.
Aw, shucks.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
We won't get our 40 versions or whatever.
Yeah, you're not going to get your 40 versions.
We'll get 39 now.
Yeah.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
We've had a lot of stories lately where cops are being called in for all kinds of weird shit, and they get there, and it's like, this is not a thing we should be having anything to do with. Unfortunately, this was another one of those situations where somebody called the cops for another stupid reason. But they thought they were doing good, but it turned out it was kind of stupid. They even admit this. Over in Amsterdam, the police over there were relieved that when they broke down the door for an apartment, which I have a problem with them doing, but I guess, you know, for certain reasons, I suppose they have to do that, to rescue what appeared to be a lifeless woman and discovered that she was apparently just a blow-up sex doll. This is not the first blow-up doll we've ever covered here on the show.
No, it's not. She's making a rather regular appearance.
Yes,
she's
been on the show more times than I have, apparently. Apparently, and that's saying something. since I'm the one that's been on the show every day it's ever been on. Concerned neighbors called Tuesday when they spotted what they thought was a lingerie-clad woman standing or hanging stationary at a window. Officers rang the property's buzzer and knocked on the door, but they feared the worst, failing to gain any response. So they kicked their way in, expecting to find a dead body. In fact, they did find a dead woman made of plastic because it was, you know, deflating, you know. Airhead.
This case really blew up in their face.
It did. I see what you did there.
But now, the cops, they handed this case over to the private eye, and you know why?
Why is that?
Because only a dick could solve this case. I'll be here all night.
Now, the police also posted this particular story with a picture of it to their Facebook page. I didn't know they were doing that, but whatever. And they said they were relieved that it was just a sex doll. Thoughts, everybody?
Oh, God.
That was a close one. Almost has to rescue somebody real.
Yeah. We didn't have to shoot them.
I gotta say, was she armed? It's a good thing she didn't have a gun.
This would have been a whole different story if it had been like an ethic doll. Police open fire.
You shot my doll!
Black lives.
Plastic lives matter.
Plastic lives matter. Hashtag plastic lives matter. Oh, hashtag sex doll. Hashtag plastic lives matter.
So. Yeah.
any comments, everybody?
Damn, they're making these things look really realistic now, I guess.
Yeah. there is a doll that you can buy. You don't fill it with air. It's called a real life doll. And people buy these things. They're like $8,000. These things cost more than a car. But you can buy one. You can do all kinds of things. You can shower with it. You can put clothes on it.
Can you drive it to work?
Yeah. Well, you could drive to work and let it sit in the car waiting for you, I suppose.
You said it costs as much as a car.
It does cost as much as a car. These things are $8,000 or more. and that's the bare bones. That's not even after you customize it.
Oh, those bones? Okay.
Well, metal bones, as it were. But, I mean, when I say bare bones, I mean that you just get whatever comes off the factory floor. You know, it's like going to a car lot and say, okay, I'm just going to buy the bare minimum. It's got the AM radio and no power steering.
Tarvaran has something on there too.
Oh, does he? Okay. He says, police open fire, sex doll sent to the cleaners. Aha. Uh-huh. Nice, nice.
You say I'm always talking. Yeah, whatever you say.
And we had comments from our one of our previous YouTube videos. And the comment comes from Herc Rance. He says, I don't have a problem with the idea of polygamy or polyandry, but I do have a problem wondering why people are convinced they need to be married. IIRC, I'm not sure what IIRC actually stands for, but it says about half the couples in the U.S. are not married. So, yeah, no, I get that. I don't have a problem with polyandry or polygamy at all. If someone wants to get married, they can. I'm with Hank on this. I don't understand why people have to get married.
Yeah, actually, it is a good point.
We found out why Deconverted Man disappeared on us. They have storms in his area, and he actually, this is the first time we've ever done this. He's actually on the phone. So, and I patched in the phone. Connie's not gonna be able to hear Connie, but we've got him patched in anyway. So thank you, Herc Rance, for your comment, and hope everybody gets to post on comments on all the shows, as we love your comments. Anyway, Deconverted Man, where can they find your channel at?
Deconverted Man on YouTube. Just YouTube search Deconverted Man.
There you go. There you go.
You'll find me.
Yeah.
There you go. It's on there. Google it. Everyone says Google it. I'm going to make a video about why Google it is horrible to say. After I say Google it.
Right. After you say
yeah,
Google
it. Yeah, but I guess Lon doesn't want me to say anymore, so I'm done. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Deconverted Man.
Good night.
Good night. Okay. That is a first for us here on the show. That we had someone drop out quite like that. I mean, we've had dropouts before, but not like this. So that's a new one for us. Anyway, all right, we'll be back next week with our regular short show. And so until then, this has been Packard Pokes at. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.